Hi, folks. I'm George Corliss.
Hi, folks. I'm Jillane Fenner.
And welcome to Good Growing with the Garden Gal. And folks, you're going to be really excited about this program. It's a brand new program on Strong Tower Radio. And this program is going to help you to become stewards of your own natural resources. And whether you're a farmer or a backyard gardener, or you're into forestry or animal husbandry, our goal with this program is to provide information and education on these subjects and more. And Jillane, I think they're really going to...
This is exciting.
And really going to enjoy it. And today's topic is going to be on soil, as we're just beginning kind of the growing season. Decatur might, down in Illinois might be a little bit ahead of us.
They are a little ahead of us.
Yeah. But we'd like to introduce the garden gal herself, and that's Teresa Williams. And Teresa, I just want you to know we're super excited about you taking the time to come and getting to know you and, just kicking off this new program. So welcome.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here today and help folks with their gardening and other growing issues.
There you go. Amen. And Jillane, we always start out with a word of prayer, so why don't you start out with a word of prayer?
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we always come to you thanking you that you love us so much. And Lord, we're thankful for this earth that you've given us, and you do want us to be stewards. And we just pray that you'd bless our listeners as we learn more about being better gardeners and farmers and just taking care of the resources that you have provided us. Thank you. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. And like we said, we're just super excited about this, but obviously our listeners want to hear about who the garden gal is. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Teresa?
Well, I grew up in southern Michigan near Romeo. And when I was growing up there, we were surrounded by all kinds of farms and orchards. It was a wonderful mixed agriculture area. And I just developed a real love of the outdoors from that. So I went off to college and studied at Michigan State College of Agriculture and Natural Resources. And from there, I even went to the Peace Corps. And my first serious growing experience was at the Peace Corps. My job was to run a tree nursery. And we didn't have any money for fertilizer. So I had to learn.
Where was that at?
It was in Lesotho, which is a very small country surrounded by South Africa.
No. How old were you when you went there?
I was 24.
24. And were you married at that time?
Nope, single.
And so you're going off on this jaunt. Did you know what you were going to do when you went there?
Yes. I knew I was going there to work on a tree nursery.
So what kind of trees did you have in the nursery? Were there fruit trees?
No, we didn't grow fruit trees. This was a forest tree nursery. We were focusing on preventing soil erosion and also providing fuel wood for people. We had all kinds of pine trees. One from California that grew straight and wonderful in Africa, but not so straight and wonderful in California for some amazing reason. We had some trees that I was familiar with. We grew some willows and some honey locust and black locust, a lot of poplars, some cedars, and a few species of pine.
Now, the popple trees grow fast.
Yes, they do, very fast.
And I notice when they do put some of those, I don't know what kind of popples are they. Do you know the ones that just sprout up like wildfire, and they use them for firewood or for tree breaks, for
all
wind breaks
kinds
and
of
stuff?
Popples grow very quickly, yes.
Okay, so it doesn't matter.
No, at least every popple I've encountered grows quite quickly.
And so your love for the topics that we're going to be talking about is vast. I mean, I'm excited. Now, you went to Michigan State. What did you do there?
I studied forestry, and when we were in forestry, we were in the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources. So we were in the same soil science classes, the botany classes, the plant physiology classes, was all the agriculture folks. So forestry was really closely related to agriculture, and we got a well-rounded education in agriculture, and then very specific coursework in how to grow and take care of trees.
So, and you have a bachelor and a master's?
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Lots of education. She's going to educate us, folks.
Well, that's good though.
Yes, it is.
I need it.
Yeah, don't we all?
Yeah. And sometimes, I don't know about you, Jillane, but sometimes things grow good and sometimes they don't. We're going to be able to find out maybe why. And folks, we're going to be talking about soil today, which is, without good soil, you're kind of defeating the purpose, right, Teresa?
I think it's the foundation for everything we want to grow. We think of seafood too. There are cultures who eat kelp and seafood, but other than seafood, everything we eat depends on having healthy soil. If you don't have your soil in good shape, you're not going to get a crop.
You don't sound like you're one of those people that likes to put a lot of poison on your food when you're growing it.
No, that's not my personal thing.
Okay.
No.
I know that's going to be coming up in upcoming weeks, but that's one of the topics we'll surely talk about. And I just kind of saw that. I don't know if you did, Jelaine, in her eyes as she goes through there. So you work for the Wexford Conservation District. Why don't you tell us about the Conservation District and, you know, what it's all about?
The Conservation District is a local unit of government, and pretty much every place in the whole country is served by a conservation district. I'd love to tell you a little bit about how they got their start. Would you like to?
Sure.
Okay. In the Dust Bowl era, which was the middle of the Great Depression in the 1930s, that time period also coincided with a period of drought. And what we had, it was in essence a perfect storm. If you look at the areas of Oklahoma, Texas Panhandle, Kansas, they're what we call the High Plains. And they're an area that doesn't have a lot of rainfall naturally. It's a sparse rainfall, not as much as we enjoy here in Michigan.
And kind of flat land, right? There's not a lot of mountains.
There's hills. There's hills.
Well, there's a difference between hills and mountains.
Yes, yeah. But it's not flat like some of our real flat cropland. And what happened in the 1930s is we had a generation come of age who were really getting going with a mold board plow. The mold board plow and moving to tractors. So suddenly we had a lot more acreage coming under cultivation. One farm could farm a lot more acres. And so it was relatively new technology at the time, and we hadn't yet learned the lesson of that when you're going to farm that intensively, there's measures that you have to take to make sure your soil doesn't erode. We had that combined with a drought, and what happened was tons and tons of soil literally lifted up into the air and created huge dust storms that just buried houses, buried cars, killed people. And it got to the point where these dust storms made it to Washington, D.C., and it was that time that our national government realized, hey, this is a resource that we're losing. And if we want to continue to feed people in America, we need to take care of our soil. So they created an entity known then as the Soil Erosion Service. And what they did, and I personally think this was a brilliant strategy, is the federal government said to communities that we'll provide you with technical expertise if you form a locally led soil conservation district who's would be kind of a conduit between the federal government and to local farmers. So they did. And these districts got their start in the 30s. Here in Wexford County, the Soil Conservation District was formed in 1945, and that enabled the federal government to send technical experts into Wexford County to help teach farmers about, all right, now we've got more technology, we can plow more acres. How do we do it in a way where we're not going to lose our soil resources?
Well, the wind's not going to come along and just blow it all away.
Right. Wind and water both.
Well, yeah,
in Michigan, water erosion is a big concern.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of our younger listeners have no idea what you're talking about with the Dust Bowl, unless they probably remember it from history class, maybe.
Do they teach it in history anymore? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I can think of, what was it, Grapes of Wrath with Henry Fonda. That was what that was all about.
That's that time period, correct.
But I did not know that dust actually reached Washington, D.C. Mm. So basically, it blew all the way across our country then.
Yes, that's correct.
And so what happened when it reached Washington, D.C.? There was no problem before, but now there's a problem.
Right. Then the East Coast finally realized that, hey, if this is happening 1,000 miles away and we're ending up with the soil, this is a huge problem. We can't ignore it. We've got to do something on a national scale.
And so what happened to the soil? We're talking about the dust, which was the dirt, basically, is being blown away. So what did that? What happened to the soil in the 1930s in the Dust Bowl area?
You mean the soil that left the land?
Yeah. What happened to the land after the soil left? What was left?
Well, we lost a lot of our topsoil. And if you were to look at soil that hadn't been farmed and you were to dig a hole down, you would see that there's different layers in that soil. And it's the uppermost layers where the most fertility is, where the best region for root growth for our crops is. And when we lose that uppermost layer of soil, what you can be left with is what we call subsoil, which depending depending on that particular soil, because it can vary from location to location, it may not have many nutrients for plants in the lower layers of soil.
What was the crop that they planted when they started turning the soil with the tractors when that came out then?
The one in the Dust Bowl areas that caused so much problem was wheat. They were continually cropping wheat after wheat after wheat, and they weren't rotating it with a hay crop or something like that. And that's that continuous cropping of the same plant was part of the problem.
And what was there before? Just the prairie grass?
Prairie grasses.
That was it.
Yep.
And so, but there was no erosion with that.
No, because you never turned over the soil. You never had bare exposed soil.
Okay. And so what were some of the measures that they took then? I'm kind of curious. I did see something, I think, on PBS where these guys actually tilled the soil instead of straight lines. They did it in like almost in S's, and I've seen them do them in Z's. And is there other things that they did?
Well, there was a great demonstration project in a place called the Coon Valley in Wisconsin. And what was involved there in that demonstration was what you were talking about. It's called contour farming. If you were to look at it from the air, you would see that there were strips of cropland that weren't straight. And what they were doing is the plow line was trying to plow levelly across the field. And if you can take away the slope, you take away the force of the water moving and causing erosion. So when you see those contour strips, you're looking at an area where water erosion is a big concern. And they would alternate the strips. They perhaps would have corn in one strip, a small grain like oats or wheat in a strip, and a hay crop such as clover or alfalfa in the strip. And by alternating those strips, they can probably keep at least one of the strips in vegetation every point of the year. And so they're, in essence, shortening the width of the field. And anytime you can shorten the width of the field, you reduce the potential for erosion on that field.
Well, I mean, that's great stuff. Now, but what does that have to do with us here in Michigan? I mean, you guys, do you have your own goals and objectives for the conservation district here?
Our mission for the local conservation district is to enable people to be stewards of their natural resources. We work with farmers, commercial farmers, but Wexford County does not have a lot of farm ground. We have more forests than anything else. So one of our main emphasis here is we have a full-time forester, and he's able to work with landowners and help them to be stewards of their forest resources. He does everything from work with them on insect and disease issues to keep their forest healthy, how to manage their forest and harvest a timber crop in a way where the forest is sustained and not harmed. We also have an invasive species coordinator here locally.
This is going to be interesting to talk about in some of the other programs. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, great.
How long have you had the invasive species coordinator?
We're coming up on 2 years.
And now, does that cover water? Because there's issues, too, we're talking about in the lakes, invasive species. Or you're just talking about land?
Well, our program is funded by a grant. And this particular grant program is funding invasive species that are just coming or just might be coming into our area. Ones that we have a chance, we feel, of winning the battle against.
Nipping in the bud.
Nipping in the bud. So we have had calls about some of our lake species, such as eurasian milfoil.
Especially but with Lakes Cadillac and Mitchell right here.
That is so well established, that's beyond the scope of our program. But we are concerned with things like Phragmites, which is a relatively recent invasive species here, and Japanese knotweed, to name a couple.
Never heard of those before. Folks, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Strong Tower Radio, and this program is called Good Growing with a Garden Gal. And I'm George Corliss, and we've got Jelaine Fenner as co-host here, and we're talking with Teresa Williams, and she's from the Wexford Conservation District. Now, there's conservation districts all over the country, right? Every
Correct.
County basically has one?
Pretty much every county I've ever heard of has a conservation district.
Now, what are some of the other goals and objectives of some of the other conservation districts? Let's say north of here, like in Grayling and Gaylord and Alpena and in that area.
In northern Michigan, forest management is going to be an emphasis of all our conservation districts. And then from there, each district looks at what are the local issues, what are the local concerns, what are the local resources, and together with an elected board of directors, they set what priorities are best suited for their area.
So like if, you know, we have listeners in Grand Rapids, mm-hmm. in Lansing, I mean, the whole county's not city, but it's more, you know, they have bigger population and more city, but yet they might have something different. They don't have the forest like we do.
True. Like the counties around Lansing don't have, at least none that I'm aware of, have a forestry program down there. Their emphasis is much more on agriculture and working with their farmers on ways to both reduce soil erosion and help maintain water quality.
Now, you mentioned that you came, was it Romeo?
Yes.
Okay, but, and when we were off air, you were saying that that's
I thought
the
of Romeo,
peach,
yeah.
The peach, what'd you say it was?
It was the peach capital of Michigan.
And they, but do they grow peaches anymore?
They still do. There are still a few wonderful commercial orchards down there. Not as many as when I was growing up, but there are still few.
So it was the peach capital, but what about now?
Well, they still have the Michigan Peach Festival, so I don't want to take anything from them.
That's right. Okay.
It's like the Mushroom Festival, right?
Yeah.
It kind of depends on who says what.
Yeah. They still do grow a lot of peaches in Romeo.
Really? I did not know that. And then, of course, where we're at in Cadillac, to the west of us, Ludington area and up in Grand Traverse County and Leelanau County.
A lot of fruit growers.
A lot of fruit growers, especially grapes are big now because of the wineries, right?
Yes.
And then what about as you go up to Petoskey, and so what are some of the things up there?
In Petoskey, I've gotten to know there's a wonderful movement of local vegetable growers getting started in the Petoskey area.
No, and in fact, that's what you do when you're not...
When I'm not at my
9-to-5
job.
Right, there you go.
So, yeah. In my free time, yeah, we have a small farm.
Okay. And as we go through here, you know, folks, one of the things that we wanted to kind of set the tone is, you know, who Teresa is. And she has vast, you know, knowledge herself, but she has other resources of people that you can bring in here. And that's what we're going to do, you know, is really let you understand, you know, about how to become a better steward of what, you know, God has given you. And that's basically, you know, your goals and objectives. I know the God thing isn't in there, but... at the conservation district. That's what you want, is right. People to become better stewards of what they have. And
so we might want listeners, if they have any questions, they could give us a call.
They could do
and
that.
And we could, you know, get ready, you know, and have Teresa tell her what we're looking at, some of the questions people have. And then if she's not an expert in that area, she knows an expert who is.
That's right.
I can probably find someone.
That's right. And, you know, today we're going to talk about soil. And it doesn't matter if you're a farmer farming 1,000 acres and growing corn or soybeans or whatever, or if you've got a backyard garden, soil, if you don't have good soil, Teresa, you're up the creek without a paddle.
That's right.
And so when we come back, we're going to talk about soil and what's going on. You're listening to Good Gardening with the Garden Gal, and that's Teresa Williams, and I'm George Corliss, and Jelaine Fenner is right here with me, and we'll be back after these messages on Strong Tower Radio.